Thank you, Brother James. Thank you for this invitation and this opportunity. Last week, Brother Mark preached from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and he went backwards from the 20th verse, talking about those things that we haven't been taught of Christ. In the middle of the week, Brother Ronnie Loudermick sent out a text concerning that 21st verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I've been trying to preach here at Madera for, I don't know, several months now from the book of Ephesians. And my wife often tells me when the Lord wants a message out, he'll put it in a multitude of minds that that the gospel will be distributed as he would have it. And his word would go out. So this evening, Lord being our helper, Brother Ronnie and his post made the 21st verse very simple, where it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that we have heard the voice of the Son of God." And in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." And then the other part of that, "have been taught," and that is the taught of the Lord by the gospel. So in that, we can see that in order for us as children of God, the first thing that needs to occur is we need to be summoned by the voice of the Son of God. And as the Apostle Paul starts his fourth chapter, that he, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." So we're called to, in this life, to do and honor God in our lives and by our behavior. Lord willing, if you give pray for me for just a little while, I would like us to consider the 22nd through the 24th verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. It says that ye may put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you look at this, the 20th verse through that 24th verse is one sentence. And so we have the thought starting in that 20th verse, "but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." There are some things that the Apostle Paul is telling these the brethren here at Ephesus. There's things that you have been taught. And he spent a lot of time at the church of Ephesus, and he's writing this epistle after he had been there on a couple of occasions teaching them. He spent much time there going from house to house and with the brethren. Also, he had already met with the several of the elders of the church in the 20th chapter of Acts, and now he writes this epistle from jail as he's in jail. Literally a prisoner for speaking and talking and preaching Jesus. So in this 22nd verse, it tells us something here, and what I would like to convey this evening is what is old and what is new, and why do we need to put off some old things and put on some new things. Now, one of the things we used to say in the Navy, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Now, we had this thing of maintenance that we would do on equipment, and we'd take perfectly good equipment that has been running well. And I used to say, "Why are we taking it apart during this maintenance?" And I guess we were taking it apart to see why it ran so well. When we have something old and there are things that are advertised of being newer, but they don't benefit us in any way to go forward and get something new and replace the old. And I often say about the King James Bible, they say there's now a new King James Version. I'd like to know why they needed a new version when the old version, there's nothing wrong with it. It's the Word of God. It has been used in the English-speaking world for many centuries, and many other reasons why the King James Version of the 1612 version is that Bible that I believe that has been sent to us by God through those men that have interpreted, if you will, for us here in the English-speaking world. So it's not broken. Let's not change it. But if God tells us that we need to put off some old things, it's because it's broken. It's not keeping with God's holiness. It's not keeping with God's righteousness. And it says you have that you put off concerning the former conversation. What we're to put off is our manner of the manner of life, an old manner of life, an old manner of behavior. And the reason is because it tells us right here that the old man is corrupt. We read in scripture that there are things that moth and rust doth corrupt in our world, in our nature. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Ricky mentioned this on John Scott's service earlier. If the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, brethren, it is. I can attest to that, and many of you here can attest to it too. As we get further and further down the road, our natural body is breaking down. It's not getting better. But as the natural man, we go get closer and closer to that time that and we get weaker and weaker. It tells us that the inner man should be strengthened and renewed day by day. But this old man, he's corrupt. He's a corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And the reason that lust is deceitful is because it promises joy, but fails to ever deliver it. So we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and the third chapter, and we see what occurred there, is that there were God had already told Adam, not to partake of that fruit. From the day he partakes of it, he shall surely die. But as we start in the third chapter, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." The lust of our natural mind, the lust of the flesh, and those things that we have a tendency to want to embellish things. And these are something we need to put off because that is not what God had told Adam. Adam, he told Adam not to eat it. He had not told him not to touch it. He never told him not to, to look at it. He told him not to eat of it. But here's Eve kind of embellishing it a little bit. And it's reason, and it tells us over in the book of Timothy that she was deceived. We are easily deceived in our natural flesh when we look upon things and lust after them. When we lust after them, we get deceived. It goes both ways. You're deceived and you look after things lustfully. And when you look after things lustfully, you're deceived and you get yourself in a terrible circular problem where sometimes you just can't seem to find your way out of it. So we see in James chapter 1, verse 14, he tells us that. And we'll turn over to it. I got I have this desire not to try to stab at scripture, but to read it so we make sure the words are right. It says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That's because no man can say God hath tempted him. I cannot be tempted with any evil, neither tempt he any man. When we are tempted, it's because we're drawn away of our own lust. And then it says, and enticed. Lust will entice us to do things that are contrary to what how God would have us to behave. And it says here we're to put off that old man, but that old man, what we're to put off is the conversation and the manner of life and behavior. Now you think about what putting off entails. This putting off is like if we have a coat that we wear. We actually are going to take off that garment and take it completely off. Now, I have a tendency, and Sister Lana will attest to this, that I like to wear my old clothes. You know, they get holes in them, they become tattered, and I think I embarrass her when I wear them out in public. But she wants me to put off those old things because she's bought me some nice new things. And those new things, if I put them on, she's not so embarrassed to be with me out in public when I wear the new things. You know, when we are told to put off things, we're told to take them off, but not only to take them off, but discard them. Discard them away from us that we are not tempted to go pick them up again and put them on. So the old man is he's corrupt. He's totally and that tends to the doctrine of total depravity because corruption begets corruption. When you know one of the things again in the Navy, one of the things we battled aboard ship. These big steel ships in salt water, there's a lot of rust. And if you don't stop the rust will continue to spread. And it'll continue to spread to the extent where it'll actually eat a hole through the steel. And when we are out there in the middle of the ocean, it's not a good thing for for there to be a hole in the steel because we're trying to keep the water out. And not to let the water in. When we consider rust, it's something that it's not something that we want because it's corrupt. Moth and rust doth corrupt. It's a corruptible thing, and the old man being corrupt. And why is it that we, as God's people, should not desire the things that are corrupt? Because if we consider the Lord's promises, it says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that we must put on incorruption, that the corruptible must put on incorruption. This is the work of God in regeneration. And when the Spirit, when God comes back that second time, we're going to be changed. Our bodies are going to be corrupt until that change takes place. When our bodies go to the tomb, our bodies are going to go to the tomb because of corruption, because that the things of this world have overcome the sinful flesh that we have, the corruptness of the old man. But it's not telling us at this present time to get rid of the man. It's telling that man to get rid of the behaviors and the manner of his life, that is no longer the life that he would live before God and before his people. We're told in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew to let our light so shine. You know, we need power for there to be light. Brother James just saying the power's out. What happens when the power goes out? The lights go out. And if we are hanging on to that old man and those corrupt things, eventually the lights go out. as it was preached last weekend by Brother Mark. As they lie in wait, they lay in darkness, they're blind, their understanding is darkened. And you can look at that back up in the 18th verse of this chapter, their understanding being darkened, that is the power being taken away. The power is not there for there to be light. So what that's another thing that corruption does is it takes away the light. There's no conduit, if you will. You know, it takes those power lines out there that have been blown down for the power to reach Brother James' home. The lights will come back on, but without the power, there he sits in a dark place, so to speak. And I guarantee you, he'd much rather have the lights on at his house right now than to be sitting in darkness. And as a child of God, we should desire not to be sitting in darkness, but we would have a desire to want to put away the corruptible things and the behavior, because this natural man, he's going to go further and further towards the grave. But the inner man should be renewed day by day. And that's what he's telling us. Look in Ephesians back just a couple of chapters in the book of Ephesians concerning these things. It says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So here it is, talking about this old man and what the old man is fully capable of, and even pointing out, because now we look at the first chapter, who is the Apostle Paul addressing this epistle to? The Apostle Paul addresses this epistle to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He is talking to people that have heard the gospel. He is talking to God's people that these are not the first time that they've heard these things. And now he's reminding them, there was a time that you, walked according to the prince of the power air. These things you walked in this conversation. What conversation? The manner of men, the behaviors that he puts here. The same thing is told to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about these things in the 9th through the 11th verse. But the thing that he says there at the end, and such were some of you. You know, we need to be honest with ourselves here to understand and recognize and realize our depravity, how we are fully capable of taking these behaviors, even when we, and this is something that is continuous in our life, that we would put off the old man and those behaviors on a consistent basis. We need to do this every moment of our lives, because our flesh has a tendency and a desire for the lusts of this world. And if we don't put it away, if we don't put it off, and we get it away from us, that the temptations and the lusts of this world are not those that are the driving force, then we are going to not experience the blessings of God and having that light shine down upon us, that He would bless us with, knowing the great blessings that we have. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it tells us, mortify therefore the deeds of our flesh. That's putting off that old man. You know, that word mortify sounds a little bit like mortician. You know, there's a death here that needs to take place. The death that needs to take place is the separation of ourselves from those things spoken of. There in that book of Colossians, there in that third chapter, where it tells us, mortify therefore your members which were upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetous, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on upon the children of disobedience, in which sometimes ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, aren't you glad that but now is there? Go back over to the second chapter of Ephesians. Brother Ricky had been saying this for quite some time. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God who loves us. In Galatians, it tells us concerning the works of the flesh and the lust of the flesh. Same thing there. Mentions all of those same things before it tells us about that fruit of the Spirit. So in that 22nd verse, and it tells us, we'll read it again here in Ephesians chapter 4, says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the Apostle Paul addresses that in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And when he says here in the second verse, we'll read the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This sounds a whole lot like we need to put off that old man. And it says here, and be not conformed to this world. You know what the old man wants to do? The old man wants to be conformed to the world. So it tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. There's a transformation that should be taking place here. You know, when there's a transformation you know, you look at a farmer and you see a farmer with his bib overalls on him. You can look at him and you can tell by his attire probably what his job is. But you may see the same man in church with a suit of clothes on and a tie. You know, it's the same man that was in those old clothes in his job, and it's the same man, it's the same farmer, but there's a transformation that took place because now you recognize him in church as somebody different from if you recognized him in his clothing. Here we can see that we're to be transformed, and that transformation, it says, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's by the will of God that we would desire, by putting off that old man, we'd have that desire, if you will, by the renewing of our mind, that there would be a transformation made. And the transformation that is being made is that that we is an ongoing process. And in the third chapter, back in the third chapter of Colossians in the 10th verse, it says this, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Here we see, and we're putting on the new man in that 20, that 24th verse, it says, and again, you see the building block here. The first thing you do is put off the old man. The second thing, being renewed in your mind and the spirit of your mind. You know, sometimes God's people get stuck, and I'm saying God's people, I'm saying those that understand the desire and the need to put off that old man, they'll get stuck because they don't have the knowledge that talks about in Colossians, that they get lost. They don't know where to turn. I think that's what the Apostle Paul says over there in the in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we be not found being naked. That's just saying not being found, not knowing where to go. The Apostle Paul is building here after that renewal, and you find out through the knowledge what God requires of us as being the new man, it says, and that you put on the new man. Here's something that we have to do. These are things that we, as God's people, that we, by putting off that old man, by by being taught of God, being hearing the gospel preach, that we put off the old man, but we also be renewed by the spirit of your mind. And you know, hearing the gospel preached helps you be renewed. Studying scripture helps you to be renewed in your mind. It solidifies, if you will, those things that God would have us to know, that help us in our conversation here in this present evil world. It says, and put on the new man. You know, if I don't take off those old clothes that Sister Lana doesn't like, and I try to put on something over top of it, it's going to look pretty funny. I mean, you got to put off the old in order for the new to take that take be, have the effect that it needs to have. You can't be sitting on the fence. You can't be out there naked. You got to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You got to be all in here that you put off the things of the old man, that you have a desire to know the Lord, and that you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know what? I believe what this is telling us right here. That after God means in the likeness of God. It's God that is righteous, and it is God that is true holiness. And that we would embrace that, that what we put on would be that that would let our light shine. And it's not our light. It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that shines through us, and that we have put on that new man where that light shines through us into this present world, and it illuminates things for us, but also helps us to help each other. That light, he says, let your light so shine, who? Before men. Don't hide that light. Don't hide what the Lord has taught you. God helps you and teaches you and gives you gifts that you would share those gifts with others. You let your light so shine before men that they would see what? Your good works. And you know what? It tells us we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. It tells us to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and that we would glorify our Father which is in heaven. We're not going to do it if we hold on to the old man. We're going to embarrass ourselves. We're going to embarrass Sister Lana. But when I put on the new suit and take her out, she really likes that. When we put on the new man and in the Lord, in righteousness and in His truth and that holiness, the true holiness, because it's God that is holy. He told us in Peter, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the righteousness we have none and of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we are created in Him, that we would go forth. And we would bear fruit. We would bear much fruit in the Lord. I would like to go over quickly to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, it tells us that we're to add some things to our faith. And I would like to just share what I see here that applies to what we just read over there in fourth chapter of Ephesians. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We're to put off the old man. And virtue is just moral goodness, but it has the effect. And remember, this is being aimed at the child of God that has the knowledge of these things that they'd already been taught. And when we add to our faith virtue, there's a definition that tells us about virtue is a voluntary obedience to the truth. And if you've heard the truth and you've heard the things of God, you've been taught of God and you've heard the things of God, that you would put off that old man and you do it voluntarily. You do it without hesitation because you want to be that God would have you to be. And it says the next thing is knowledge. That's how we're renewed in our spirit day by day, that we would grow in knowledge. We'd grow in grace. We would grow in the Lord because because we can't be sitting still and be stagnant. That's what the old man does. He's dragging us backwards. But we need to be going forward in the Lord. And it says, the next thing it says here to add to. Add to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness. That is what the new man is that we would try to emulate and be as Jesus Christ is, to be godly in our walk. And to be godly in our walk is true, is to be that righteousness and true holiness, desiring to be as much like Jesus as we can be, because he's our example. He's our ensample. He's our that came into this world himself and walked among men and showed forth God's righteousness and God's holiness while he was with us, for he sinned not, nor can he sin, because he is the Son of God who came into the world to die for us on the cross of Calvary, and that sacrifice that was necessary had to be a sacrifice that was righteous and holy. It could have no sin at all. And because we are sinners, we need to put off the behaviors of that sin. We need to grow in grace and knowledge, and we need to put on the new man that we would walk and let our light shine before men, and that God would be glorified. I hope I said something that would benefit you this evening.